Well, I'm joined on delighted to say I'm joined on the line by commentator Brendan Devaney. Brendan, you're very welcome to Highland Radio Sunday Sport. Brendan, I suppose we'll touch on today's game. It was a game that you were at in commentary duties. Look, Donegal and Tyrone, it's always going to be a cagey affair, but Declan Bonner's side grinded out the victory, 113-111. And look, I was here today watching the game as well, not being a biased Donegal man, but I think our side deserved the victory.
Yeah. I was working for the game also, so I had to be very unbiased for it. But yeah, I think Donegal just slightly shaded it over the game, but very interesting, intriguing game. I mean, first of all, the conditions played the biggest factor, I think, in terms of, you know, players slip sliding and balls being turned over. It was so difficult. So I really commend the lads for both teams putting on the shift. Very difficult for two top teams that will have aspirations in one, and not just in Ulster, but in all Ireland. You know, one of them had to go out in the first round. And I thought today, Tyrone bought a new tactic and a level of play which we certainly didn't see 2 weeks ago in the league, and early on really bossed the game.
They definitely did, Brendan. I suppose when you look at the scores, they were 3-1 up after 11 minutes, one into the water break, and they were 5-1 up at that occasion. Declan Bonner would have been, I suppose, a little bit worried at that occasion, do you think?
Yeah, we interviewed him at the end of the game, Park, and the voice was well gone, and I can imagine, you know, if there was a couple of hairs left there in the head, he was pulling them out, Park, because this was Donegal really almost caught cold. You know, Donegal is a home team. They played really well the last day. They had a wee bit of spark, a bit of invention, which was completely missing from Tyrone. So I think in Donegal's eyes, the problem with them, and as much as Declan Bonner and his team might say we were ready for all scenarios, we certainly weren't ready for Tyrone. Finally, for me, finally, having watched Tyrone and Hearts games for years, finally letting their forwards be forwards and actually stay up front. We started with Darren McCurry and Canavan and McKenna right up inside, three danger men, all three match winners. And they stretched Donegal, and Donegal even though we had the breeze, and we were supposed to be the team that would take Tyrone in the first half, we were 5-1 down at that water break. We were all over the place, and their matchups in terms of the way they had mostly Donnelly, sometimes McAlee, Mark and Murphy, they had Myler and McHugh, who was man of match the last day, and they were both working really well, stopping our two main playmakers. And then you had Darren McCurry at the other end, was having a great game. McManaman wasn't close to him in his couple of kicks. And then McKenna and McGee was the other matchup, and they were both having a bit of a ding-dong. So three of the four matchups were going Tyrone's way, and they were bossing the game. So, you know, a lot of people saying the water break should be ruled out, you know, once we get past the summer. From a Donegal's point of view, we are blessed that it wasn't, because after that water break, Donegal finally came back in the game, and it was the brilliance of Michael Langan, plus an unbelievable kick-out, of course, from Sean Patton to Tomoga to set up that goal. But that goal, that 1-1 from Langan, like if you looked at the whole game, that was actually the winning of the game for Donegal.
Yeah, and what a move it was too. But as you indicated, getting at half time with that goal, 1-5-6, Declan would have been a lot more happier. Donegal were just slow getting off the mark, I suppose, in the first opening quarter. But Brendan, having a goal, that goal, you know, as you said, would have done a lot for players at half time, getting the confidence back. And, you know, Donegal came out with a pep in their step in the second half.
They did. I guess the breaks, and it just shows you the value of tactics now, Eric. And it used to be years ago, you know, you had the big pumped up speech and that, and tactics weren't really a thing. Tactics have become so huge now. And the rhythm of Donegal, you know, was so upset by Tyrone and the tactics we weren't expecting, because we'd seen so often that they played a very negative game, and they just tried to work the ball up into an area and try to get someone on the back of the score or trying to work a free. This was very un-Tyrone. Like, they kind of, I think, really upset Donegal's mindset and their tactics going into it. So the water break was the first thing, then half-time was another thing. And not only had Donegal to rejig, they really had to come out with a bit more bite between them, because, of course, this was knockout football. Donegal, particularly in that first quarter, certainly didn't play like it. They did up it at times, but there was times as well Tyrone bossed the game. And I think, if anything, the second half playing under the breeze probably suited us, because when we ran the ball, we really caused Tyrone loads of trouble, and we were more careful with the ball and the build-up play. And I think playing under the breeze, as I say, suited us. And even though you would have thought it was an advantage to own at half time. Both teams probably played better against the Briefs.
Yeah, that's something you see that does happen in games like this. Teams play better with the Breeze, or against the Breeze, I should say. But as we look, Tyrone came out of the blocks in the second half as well. Derek Canavan also making his debut today, Peter Canavan's son. He scored a goal and a point within a four-minute spell. So Tyrone, this game, really just they found it difficult. Donegal found it difficult to get away from them. They kept coming back.
Yeah, they kept. And the only thing about that is, Tarek, I'm just looking at the nature. I think we had three in a row points, and Brennan, Langan, and Thompson had three in a row points. They actually put us back in the lead again just after that 1-1 from Kenavan. So, you know, that was the flip flop of the game. You know, we certainly seem to hit a couple of purple patches in games, but very differently last year's game, where I thought we controlled the game by and large. You know, there's never a huge running margin between Donegal and Tyrone games, but we were much more played a 50-60 minute type game. Today, there was times we were really out of the game, but in the purple patches, then we made the best of it. And as I say, Langan, you know, hit 1-2. That 1-1, I think, was the winner of the game. But on the back of that, then the surety of Thompson. You know, Thompson to come for me when he came on the scene. He had that unbelievable left foot, and I've seen him doing things as good as left foot as I've seen. And he seemed to go off the boil a bit then. He had a couple of injuries, and he became a bit of a workman type player for us. But the man has so much quality. You know, he's captain, he's Connell, he's a leader for them. But he was a real leader for Donegal today. And you know, from frees and from play, from general play and kicks from play, he was awesome. And I felt, you know, you would kind of look to certain players around the pitch to step up to the game, but particularly I think Hugh McFadden, Langan, and in particular Thompson. I think I know a couple of people were toying man the match between him and Langan, but I think Thompson just is it.
And interesting, you should also touch on Hugh McFadden. And during the game, it was just lung busting run after lung busting run, and really going down on that. Look, there's nothing but dirty ball out there today. And you know, another man that really stood up from my point of view watching on today, Bren. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, certainly. You know what? Well, that was such a difficult day, and you know, as much as we want the championship back, we probably were thinking a bit romantic about it. But here is what happened with the weather. And I know a couple of days ago it would have been a completely different scenario, but how quickly it can change. We were on the back of a storm, the howling winds and that. So for big men as well, we've seen a few times the bigger people were slip sliding everywhere. But McFadden, I think what he has, you know, he has power and he has great experience. So I think he's so vital to the all around the middle. He's another go-to guy. You know, we had a few players out there today. I think the conditions affected them, you know, our smaller, lighter, nippier players, which you've seen excel a couple of weeks ago in the better conditions, struggled today. So sometimes you needed that bit of power. You know, you knew when the ball got recycled quite often to Murphy or to McFadden that they were a safe pair of hands. They could take a challenge and open up the game. So, yeah, massive shift from Hugh McFadden. He's become a very important player for them as well.
And I suppose currently, at the minute, Armagh are taking on Derry in that other quarter-final. Currently 13 points for Armagh, 11 points for Derry. Brendan, where's the smart money there? It's a tight tussle in Celtic Park this afternoon, this evening, I should say.
Yeah, listen, you just look, you know 100% how that game's going to go. You know, Armagh are coming in, their Division 1 team, they're certainly on the way up the park. I think if they get through, they've absolutely no fear of playing for the goal. There's much of danger as Monaghan or Tyrone would be at this point for me. Certainly, a lot of people talk about all their forward ability and the midfield in particular, probably slightly stronger than their defence. But for Roma Jalla, you know, we've seen it with Donegal, we've seen it for Manor, seen the same stuff with Derry. It's just horrible blanket defence play. And, you know, if you look at players like McGuigan inside and the Lennon, are they going to get enough ball to get a platform to go and run the game? And that's the problem with Derry. You must seem to play that deep blanket defence. You know, it just looks like when you come up against a side with enough quality, you never give yourself an opportunity to win the game. So I've seen parts of their part, as you say, just up in the half time, and already you're looking for Derry to conjure up a magical goal and for Armagh to get the foot off the pedal. But should be nothing come through. They are certainly a team that's going to put it up to us in the semi final.
Yeah, and I suppose the big shock of the weekend in Ulster here was Cavan knocking out Monaghan, a late winner by Raymond Galligan, and it was Cavan that came through after extra time. And Brendan, we spoke early on about this game, something that you're disappointed from a Monaghan point of view. 7 points up at half time, it should have been a game that closed out, but it didn't happen for them.
Yeah, well, I was out supporting our hurlers yesterday, beating Armagh in the Nicky record, which was a brilliant performance from them. Really enjoyed that game. So I was listening to bits and pieces of updates and that across the radio and just reading the report. But you can read the bit between the lines for the game. It's come back to the same scenario with Derry and teams that are too negative. You know, when Monaghan got in 111-1-4, and in terms of the second half, you can't even really give the products to Mickey Graham and Cavan for going at Monaghan and trying to keep some thinking of them. Monaghan sat so deep, he just invited Cavan eventually on them that they would come back into the game. And it's come back to that playing with fear. We see it so often with so many teams, and it's the undoing of so many sides. If you give Monaghan that second half now in the bandy and said, here boys, go at Cavan with all you've got, it's championship and it's knockout, Monaghan would have won the match. Monaghan's own fear of going into the counter-attack scenario where if Cavan score 2 points, we'll get one, they'll get two, we'll hit back for a couple, we'll always stay ahead, was their undoing. And, you know, as you say, 111-1-4 half-time against the Breeze, it was never going to be enough in a game of football. We can see it swing so quickly. And goalkeepers at the end, as you say, Began hitting that equaliser deep into injury time, but Raymond Galligan, the hero, then with another long-range free. And that's all the goalkeepers around the country are going to be out practicing their frees and having an effect in them games. But listen, Cavan and Monaghan, there's never much in it. I know the bookies were obvious because of Cavan's unlucky relegation. We're putting Monaghan as clear favourites, but there's never much between these teams. And really it came down to Monaghan's attitude in the second half. It wasn't the golden one of the game. It was to defend the lead. And as I say, time and time again, that's been teams undoing, and it was Monaghan's undoing yesterday.
Yeah, frustrating from a Monaghan supporter point of view, because showing great performances in Division 1, and suppose that flurry, that flair that Monaghan suppose brought a couple of years ago, they haven't really been able to find that again, Brendan.
Yeah, well, you know, under Europe, they were a really good team. As I say, they won 2 Ulsters in the last 10 years. We had a couple of great ding-dongs with them at Bridge. So they were right on the money. You know, that semi-final that they lost to Tyrone a couple of years ago, that seemed like a big, big chance, because of all counties, you know, they have a small population. They always have some great club champions there. They're always able to hold their own in Ulster, but they're playing off a smaller pool, and you just felt that the players didn't seem to be coming through. You know, McManus, you know, against Meath the last day, Meath, they were cannon fodder or they lost everybody up in that game, managed to get a draw last weekend. So this probably was a bit of a warning sign, you know. McManus had won 8, he still had 1-4 yesterday. So again, we've over-reliant on certain players, and they just didn't seem to be unearthing the talent that was going to kind of rejuvenate them and keep them at the top. And you just wonder in the future, probably will they be able to hang. We just about hung on there in Division 1 this year, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of plus points coming for Monaghan. And McAneely back in there, I'm sure he was beating the chest before the game, but as I say, it all comes down to tactics and a willingness to go and run the game, and the neighbours have done them over again, and they're eyeing up potential of the final.
Well, on this week's DL Debate, you'll be joined by Sean Kavanagh and Eamon McGee, and also you'll be discussing Mickey Hart's managerial career. Is he going to be on the sideline next year from a Tyrone point of view?
Yeah, the whispers in the background there, like I've heard them so many times before. I've been probably hearing them the last probably 6-7 years about Hart. There is strong word now that this could be his last, that could have been his last game today. What an absolute legend of a man from underage and Tyrone right through, you know. He probably just defined a generation in terms of football. He changed the game. He had an unbelievably talented team. You know, taking from Tyrone, never won in All Ireland, to 1-3. you know, so many Ulster championships, so many Division One campaigns. You know, they were right up there. I always remember, a quote after his first All-Ireland. He said, we want to be like Kerry. We want to keep producing players. We want to be there, thereabouts, every year. It always stuck with me. You know, when he came to speak to us down at St. Union's a few years ago after we had a John game, and, you know, you could just tell he had a certain presence with him and a certain way of speaking. I know him and John Hound were friends. John set that up and got him down. But I remember thinking to myself, you know, that guy would inspire you. Well, or not, he stayed too long, longevity, there was loads of rumours and questions coming out there. Of course, Tyrone's last under 21 winning All Ireland team, the likes of Canavan and Duher, and these guys in the background. There was big question marks about a freshness at Tyrone and getting these guys to take their job. Of course, Canavan and Mickey are clubmates and that, and all they won together, so they never approached the subject at all. So, very interesting to see, you know, what'll happen there. You know, Tyrone, I think they still have, you've seen the forwards that come on, with Scudden coming on, Bradley coming on, they have so much ability up front, but McKenna back, you know, McShane will be back next year. You know, Tyrone, with a fresh release of life, with the likes of, they had the likes of Kennedy and Duro, it'd be a very, very dangerous proposition from their point of view. But for now, it's also from the semi-final, so what Tyrone do, I suppose, it'll be up to them, but certainly an unbelievably talented squad to take over whoever, if Hart was to step down, there's so much more in this Tyrone squad.